The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus and his disciples entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
I invite you to be seated. My wife Karen likes to entertain, especially family on big holidays. And she will plan everything. If you know her, you know this is true. She will plan everything out in the last detail. She's often working to make things right up until the last minute. They're at the door. She's making sure the special bowls are out, the table is set, decorations are just so. She knows, in a way, I just don't have in me how to be hospitable, to welcome others fully into our home. Hospitality was a core concept in the time of our faith ancestors, something that was vital to who they were. It was as common and expected then as saying please and thank you today. And in our stories from Scripture today, you can see why. Abraham and Sarah welcome God into their tent in the guise of these three strangers. Mary and Martha welcome Jesus into their home. They all extend hospitality, and it turns out they're doing so to God, just as they would to any other person. And then they listen. Listen to God's word and wisdom. Now, sometime that word makes us laugh, as Sarah will do in the text that follow our reading from Genesis, when she hears the idea of her bearing a child at her age. We know that kind of experience, don't we, laughing at the words of God? Really, God? A pastor? Me? Love my enemy? Really? And sometimes the word makes us wonder, as it did for Abraham. I will be the ancestor of so many people, they will outnumber the stars. We also know that experience as well, don't we? You love me, God, just as I am right now? Really? Now, while it is the hospitality that brings the word into our lives, it's the listening to God that changes our lives. In the face of Martha's complaints, Jesus says that Mary, sitting at his feet, has chosen the better part. Why? Mary is doing the better thing, not because hospitality or service to others is not good. It is. But she's chosen the better part because the benefit of sitting at the feet of Jesus, did you catch that, will not be taken away from her. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, when we are a regular devotee to God's word that is in Jesus, that comes to us in Scripture, that cannot ever be taken from us. As we continue to see in our world in natural disasters like in Texas, the reality of war in Ukraine, Gaza, Iran, our home, our health, our wealth, all this can be taken away from us in the blink of an eye. But the wisdom, the insight, the peace, the calm that comes from devotion to this Word of God can never be taken away. It stays with us to the end of our days and then walks with us on that last journey where we breathe our last in this life and take our first in the next. The Word of God sticks with us. Vietnam veteran Howard Rutledge was a Navy pilot captured by the North Vietnamese. And during their captivity, he and his fellow prisoners used their memorized verses of scriptures and hymns as a means of bringing comfort and making each day bearable. One of his favorite verses he remembered was part of Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Rutledge said he only regretted not hiding more of God's word in his heart. A larger pool to buoy him and his companions in their imprisonment. Similarly, U.S. Air Force Captain James Edwin Ray shared that during his captivity, Bible verses whispered back and forth by the American prisoners was vital to our daily existence, becoming, he said, rays of light, constant assurances of God's love and care. Even with their freedom taken from them in the midst of war, God's word could not be taken from these men. It stuck with them even as God did. I've seen it firsthand, and I've heard many secondhand stories about how God's word has remained within people even when their memories and so much more has been taken away. I was with Morris Garnett not long before he died. His memory had been slipping for a long time. His body was frail, but even eyes half closed, the Word of God stuck with him in the Lord's Prayer that he prayed with me. I've had others, often at death's door, repeating the blessing I gave them back to me, just like Henry Elwood did. The hospitality of Martha, the action of serving others, is not a bad thing or even a wrong thing, but perhaps it's not the first thing, the essential thing. Why? Perhaps because actions that aren't guided by the word and wisdom of Jesus can lead us to some pretty awful things. Because like Martha, what can often happen is we lose sight of the reign of God and we begin to think about ourselves first. Did you hear it in her words? Don't you see that I'm doing all the work? Tell her to come help me to ease my burden. When push comes to shove, the word of God that is Jesus, that comes to us in Scripture, is the most precious gift that we have. It's one worth savoring, devouring, chewing for the rest of our lives. Martin Luther, in his explanation of the third commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, reminds us that we are not to despise preaching in the Word of God, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Because in this Word we have a boundless meal. One that feeds a hunger we didn't even know that we had. One that corrects us, that transforms us and our view of this world. One that saves us from sin and death. And perhaps that is why it is so powerful, why it is the best choice. Because while the hungry need to be fed, while the sick need to be healed, while the unsheltered need to be housed, and each of those things is good news to them, none of those things in and of themselves will truly save them. For while the love of God welcomes all into God's embrace, God transforms them through that love. A love that one author related to their experience of transformative love in AA meetings. He wrote that those meetings are where I go to be among the hurting and have my own hurts and inadequacies revealed. It is stunning, the level of love and support there, the alongsideness there. But no one shrinks from discerning the truth about our broken lives. The meeting starts out with owning, I am an alcoholic. But this admission is done in a sea of love and acceptance. There are no illusions that we are beyond discerning our brokenness. And this makes for a way of relationships, mentoring, sponsorship that challenges one another to faithfulness, to discipleship, the steps. It is a model of love in actions, he writes. Wouldn't that be an amazing description for the assemblies of followers of Jesus? And this is what the Word of God that is Jesus does for us. It enters into the very thing that looks good to us, even hospitality to others, and says, yeah, not so much. Why? Doesn't this need to be done? Sure, but your concern ultimately is not with your guests, but with yourself. It's a similar issue to the older son in the parable of the prodigal father. His issue wasn't so much the feast for his brother as it was what he hadn't received. He was focused not on justice, but his own needs. And in both cases, this is what is getting in the way of our receiving what is best. Connection with the God who comes to us in Jesus. Because in their busyness, their doing, they lose sight of their own need for this Word of God that has come to us in Jesus Christ. In their busyness, they can avoid their own sinfulness, their own shortcomings. They begin to believe they're okay, they don't really need that stuff, that that's not the important stuff. But friends, here we are this morning sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving the better part. And this is a fulfillment of what Jessica and Chase will promise to do in raising Baker in the faith, placing in his hands this life-giving Word of God, to sit him at Jesus' feet as they read him the stories from his story Bible, as they explore these Bible stories with him, as they bring him to worship, to this gathering of Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because when all else fails him, the Word of God that is embedded in his being now will be what saves Baker. And we don't want the same regret to be in him that was in Howard Rutledge, that he wished there was more of that Word hidden in his heart. And we know that in 80, 90, 100 years maybe, when he's finally old and frail, all the accomplishments and accolades of his life will slip away, and what is left to him is the Word of God that has been given to him, planted in him, soaked into his bones and being through all of those years. And one that will, even in his frailty, allow him to join his voice in prayer to the God who has walked so faithfully with him through his life, our Father who art in heaven. Friends, as baptized children of God, these are the things that can never be taken away from us. God has claimed us as beloved children in whom God delights. God's love for us will never fail. And we see this in and through the person of Jesus Christ. God delights when we sit at the feet of God's Son, listen well to his word, when we soak in the meaning of the reign of God, and as we are transformed by that word more and more into the likeness of God's Son. And so, friends, God delights in us this rainy July morning. And so let us together give thanks for the word of God. Thanks be to God.